Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud. Or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
What's up, y'all? I'm Ed, founder of Trade Up Technologies, Inc., and I'm today's guest on the Kicks and Shit Show.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard and your girl Gappy. Episode 109 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Mm-hmm. 109, man. We're out here doing it.
We are out here. It's wild.
You are in the East Coast streets, back in your home. Across the river over there. You had a birthday last week celebrating out on the West Coast. How was it?
I was not celebrating on the West Coast, by the way. And
you are?
Weren't you in Vegas? Nope. And do you know why? I just want to make a point. For everyone who follows me on social media.
So what the hell is that?
Exactly. Exactly. You are looking at me proving a point, Jay, to the social media world. And we could talk more about the reason behind that point offline. But social media is not reality, fam. You know, correct. I think like all of those pictures are real. All of the opinions and outfits and photos are my own. Do I add a little filter, a little zhuzh every once in a while? Obviously, the background of my pictures are all black and white, so you could tell that there's a slight finite touch. I mean, you guys know me. This is what I look like. There's nothing to hide. I'm like thick with three C's.
Can we get to the point about where you were?
I say that because people think that they know who you are through social media, right? And right, I don't like drama. I don't think there's any reason for it. But I post what I post when I feel like posting it. So it doesn't mean you know me. The people who truly know me and where I'm at and what I'm doing, you guys know. Jay, you know I've been in New York. Don't let that social media stuff trip you up.
That's true. You have been in New York because you've been responding and texting me at normal hours.
And I've been, we took our girl out, Jenna, out for her 30th this past weekend. You know, I've been out in these New York streets. It's nice to be home for a bit, you know, living in.
However, you know, as surprising to folks, I don't have an itinerary with Gabby's travel schedule.
I know we need a shared calendar, Jay.
As much as she would like to be giving me that itinerary,
I would love that. Right? Can we just get to the next step in this podcast in our relationship?
Yes. So I know where she is at all times. I mean, reality is I don't need to be knowing all that. But you did post those photos, and I was like, oh, is she? But I think they were more of a culmination and celebration of another year around the sun, and your life and the people in it, and some of those pictures were in Vegas and on the West Coast. So I think that's how my brain did the whole like, oh, were you in Vegas for your birthday last week? But you know.
Absolutely. And I also think like, I don't know if you noticed in like my like Virgo season photo that I posted, I was wearing a t-shirt of my birthday buddy.
Yes.
The late great Kobe Bryant. Yes. So I like the subtlety. It's a nod to when he, I mean, that picture was from May. So it's like, you know, it's a nod to that. I got a lot of, well, you'd be surprised. Most people don't know that Bean and I have the same birthday. I know I tell everyone I'm the Jewish mamba, but, you know, hasn't stuck yet. Can't imagine why.
Yeah, shocking. Shocking
to no one. But I also like, I like to joke with social media. I love starting conversations. Like, I'm on the cusp of Virgo and Leo. I have a Leo candle in my apartment. I have a Virgo candle in my apartment. And when I, many Uncut Gems, and when I posted being like, peace out, Leo season. The amount of DMs I got, I love it. I'm here for it. Let's talk it out. I love my Leos. I love my Virgos.
Oh, boy.
That's it.
Wow. That's, yeah, a lot.
You would anyway. That I turned the age that I turned based on that whole rant that I went on. But, you know.
Happy late birthday.
Jay. Thank you.
Well, I wish your birthday on your birthday, but I'm doing it again
for posterity purposes
for the podcast listeners.
I appreciate you. I appreciate all the listeners. Thank you all.
No problem. You know, Gabs, it's summer is starting to wind down.
Can't even talk about it.
You know, it's we are in the end of August. US Open will be here before we know it. We will actually be in the building in the same venue. We'll have to link up at some point.
Feet's in the streets, Jay. Feet's yep. in these tennis court streets.
Yep, yep. Got to see which kicks I'm going to rock. I think we talked about that, I think, on a couple episodes ago. Certainly something low top because it's going to be hot out in these streets. But, you know, I'll figure something out with that. Definitely flips at some point because or slides, whatever, at some point because, you know, it is warm. But end of summer, and we need to start getting ourselves ready for fall, right? What new kicks we're going to wear, what, like, hoodie seasons. I mean, it's always hoodie season, but, like, really hoodie season is coming.
I mean, it's literally always hoodie season, am I right?
Right, it's always hoodie season. What new kicks are we thinking about? Where are you in your fall planning for wardrobe, especially now because you – travel for work, you're doing more things in the office. Remember, for 2 years, almost three, we've been in flips and bike shorts. Well, not me, bike shorts, but you, because you're working at home. not me, you. But now that it's like, all right, I got to go back into these work streets, where are you in your fall sort of fashion thinking? You're like, crap, I got to go out and get some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I can live in my Skims dress and throw a leather jacket over top of it every day with a pair of kicks, maybe a pair of heels for night, you know. I want to not like that brand because I feel like the Kardashians have enough money, but I will say Skims is fucking brilliant. Shouts to Kim Kardashian on that one. If you know, you know. I know our girl Jenna knows very well. She's the one who got me onto it. And, you know, I hate to admit it, but here we are. Think, though, that, you know, a lot of companies are being smart about how they're looking at office culture, where it's not necessarily the same before. And I mean, I know myself at the company that I'm at now, I didn't work there until the pandemic. So I don't know what that pre-pandemic culture, attire, what all of that was like. I know the vibe of our team and feel very blessed that I can wear sneakers to the office. And that is part of apparel. So comfy shoes per usual, commuting sucks per usual. But, you know, I will say it's nice to see people IRL. And we joke about like the commuting and it's like taking an L on sneakers app. It's like, oh, what did we do when we didn't, what did we do before the pandemic with commuting all this time? Blah, blah, blah. Like chirp, 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 you know, but it is nice. I love an excuse to get together to see people. I think that there's so much good collaboration that happens IRL that you just can't recreate on a screen. I think the screens and Zoom and Teams and all these great technologies are amazing and have changed the way that we work. Like, and change the stigma around working from home. But, yeah, you know, New York is wilding right now, and it's kind of nice to see some faces in real life.
I think most places have gone to some sort of hybrid work culture, and depending on what level you are, you have the option to choose whether you go full remote or you're hybrid, right? And I think for those of us that are, you know, more senior in our careers, it is nice to have that option, right? Where it's like, all right, maybe there's a period where I'm going to be in the office a day a week, maybe 2 days a week, whatever. But maybe in the summertime, it's like, yeah, no, I'm fully remote summer or whatever your situation is. But again, those of us who have those options that can do that, you know, it is fortunate to be able to do that. And the stigma around working from home has gone away, which is nice.
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends on the industry. I think a lot of companies are doing some really cool things like work somewhere for 30 days working remotely. I mean, I feel very fortunate to be at an amazing company that has offices around the world, let alone the country. So it supports this kind of travel lifestyle. I mean, you guys know, I talk about this all the time. When I was hired at this company, I was hired out of the LA office. I feel like this was me manifesting all the West Coast dreams I've had for the past X amount of years of my adult life. I'm going to leave that one right there. But, you know,
it's a number bigger than 30 and less than 50.
I have not been an adult for 30 years, Jay, so I find this very rude. It's bigger than, it's a double digit number. I'll put it that way because y'all know I'm not 28 in these streets. So as much as my skincare routine might tell you otherwise, but, you know, it's nice to have those options and that choice.
It is. It is. Yeah. It is nice to have that. And we are fortunate because there are many of others who had to work straight through this pandemic.
Yes.
Go and probably like put their health at risk. And so not to make light, like those of you out there who can and are doing it, count your blessings and be happy and be thankful for the privilege and the fortune that you have. 100%. Well, Gabby, coming up next, we have a special guest, someone who is trying to do big things in the sneaker community, bring people together, you know, change the way that people are looking at sneakers and how they use them. It's really fascinating. Looking forward to speaking to this gentleman coming up. So everybody stay tuned.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer. And I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's good? We're back. Gabby, we are not alone. We are joined by a sneakerhead and the co-founder of Trade Up, which is a platform and a marketplace for trading sneakers and streetwear, Mr. Ed Espinal. How are you, sir?
Very, very well. Thank you both, Gerard and Gabby, for having me today here. It's really a pleasure, man. Happy Thursday. Used to be one of my favorite days back in college. Not so much these days. It's another work day, but it really is a pleasure to be on with you.
Appreciate you. Thirsty Thursdays, huh? Start your weekend ready to roll. Everyone knows that. It even still happens kind of when you're an adult, right? Like you like Thursday nights, like if you're, you know, depending on where you live, the city or wherever, it's like, oh, the restaurant's a little bit more happening tonight. The bar scene's a little more happening, you know, but old heads like me, we're in bed on Thursday night, so I don't really know.
That's right. We have to be
exactly,
up.
Exactly. Got to be up ready to rock and roll. No time for all that foolishness. But Ed, we're going to start here where I start with everybody, which is, when did you fall in love with sneakers?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm actually going to be 40 shortly. So I'd say around the age of 12 or 13. So, really an infatuation with just the different styles. It honestly kicked off with probably Air Max And over the last, I would say, like 10 to 15 years, I've transitioned more into Air Jordan. And now I'm back into Air Max. So I would say probably like 25 years ago, man. So definitely a long time that I've been in this culture for sure. So great to be here to chat about some of these stories.
And was it a situation where you were, it was a music thing, a hip hop thing, or were you an athlete? What was the thing that drew you in?
Basketball, inner city basketball. I went to school in Harlem as a young whippersnapper. And the most important thing was, like, you know, did you play ball and what kind of kicks you were rocking? And so I was in that culture big time. I had a lot of friends that, you know, were into the sneaker culture, especially in the inner city. And we waited for the releases. We went into stores ahead of time to try to get sneakers, because back then you would actually shop in stores, right? So you'd actually go and, you know, canvas the neighborhood to see what kind of kicks were dropping. And some sneaker shops might even let you get them a couple weeks in advance if you throw them a couple weeks, you know, if you throw them a couple bucks. So we were looking for that kind of situation. But yeah, I'd say that was my introduction, man. It's inner city basketball, hip hop, that whole culture. It's just like, it's just embedded. Right.
And so if you had to critique your game, who was a player you would like to say your game was most like?
MJ, I always love this question because I'm waiting for someone to say MJ. I'm glad you did.
I'm joking. It was probably more like, I don't know, Alonzo Mourning. I don't know. You know, just a hustle grind play. You know what? I'm a Knicks fan, so let's say Charles.
Okay. I support that.
You're on the boards playing defense. You're a little rugged in the post there. All right.
I got a jump shot. Oakley hit a jump shot too once in a while. You couldn't leave him open. The same with me.
All right.
I like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gerard's like, great, another Knicks fan in the house. I'm a big Knicks fan, so I appreciate that. Reference.
It's fine. I will let you have your Knicks moment. Go ahead.
Dude, what are you gonna do, right? I mean, we've been pretty depressed. Like, we've gotta find joy in the past. What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do?
as listeners and viewers of our show know, I tell Gabby every week about her putrid ass Knicks and how she should approach that fandom. And really, you know, y'all set yourselves up for disappointment every time. And I'm like, look, man, like you don't have to do this. Like, you don't have to do this to yourself.
You're dropping in words like putrid in there casually. Okay, I see you, Jay. Mm-hmm. But we loyal. That's right.
Mm-hmm. We're just loyal.
You know what's so funny about that? And I get it. I love that Knicks fans like go hard and are so loyal. But I'm like, why are you loyal to a squad who ain't loyal to you? Right? They don't give a shit about y'all. Knicks ownership and management don't give a rat's ass about y'all.
It's our soft spot, man. What are you going to do? You know, especially, I'll tell you what. I think the newer generation, there's a disconnect because of how bad the Knicks have been. But if you grow up, you know, in particular, if you're a New Yorker in the late 80s, early 90s, and lived that decade, it was very difficult to not.
No doubt.
It's a different time.
It's a different time.
But are you both comfortable with the reality that you will likely go to your graves and the high watermark of your entire Knicks fandom is getting that ass beat by Michael Jordan in the playoffs? Or no, I'm sorry, that's not even the high watermark. The high watermark is going to the NBA finals and having John Starks go 3 of like a million from the field and losing in the NBA finals. Are you good? Are you good with that? Like, when it all ends and you're like, you know what?
You are not good with that.
I feel nothing because I'm not a Knicks fan. So I have
You feel nothing. I don't know the way that you go in. There's not a lack of feelings there. There are a lot of feelings. They just might not be the same feelings. You feel me?
Yeah. I read positivity coming into the show.
I got you. It is 2 versus 1, Ed. You're not alone. Gerard knows I stand for the Knicks. I might be Switzerland in the fact that the Knicks don't care about me because I have a different relationship with the Knicks than others. That sounded real scandalous, but like, y'all know I shot t-shirts at Knicks games for a long time. So that's all that means.
Your presentation and you shooting t-shirts out of t-shirt cannon and all that. Love that. Love that.
Appreciate that support, Jay.
Love that.
But yeah, it's a different time. And I say this every week, but first of all, I'm going to live to be 120, so there better be a championship in the next 9 million years that I'm on this planet.
Think about teams, right? Like, in just not just basketball, but other sports, right? Who, like, if you were a Cubs fan and died before they won the World Series, and like the Red Sox, years. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm saying, man, like, we're talking a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen, if that happens to us, we'll always have the fact of the matter that John Starks dunked on my business.
I love it. I love it. I love it. The Starks dunk, that's the high watermark. We have that to hold on to.
That the Knicks made Space Jam 1. There you go. That's what I got.
I love it, man. I love it. It's hilarious. Oh, so, man. Ed, man, you know, the sneaker game has changed since what it was in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, even to now. So how did your appreciation and the way you view the culture change as it changed?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting. It's a great question because really, and like when I'm asked this question, it's hard for me to not talk about the macro and microeconomics of it all. Because like the reality is sneakers for us who grew up in this culture was really like, at least for me, was about getting that little like head nod from the other sneakerhead, you know, that acknowledgement like, okay, you're part of this inner circle, right? Now things are changed. It's these things belong to a portfolio. It's an asset class. And obviously the evolution of companies like StockX and GOAT and eBay and frankly, you know, even us, right, at this stage, creating a marketplace and a community so that sneakerheads can transact, you know, I think has totally changed the game as to how you view sneakers, right? You used to view them as a hobby. That's still there for the pure, you know, the kind of the purists of the sneakerhead games. But, you know, it's hard to not notice how much money there is in sneakers, you know? It's hard to, absolutely. And it's hard to, you know, sometimes you kind of get bent out of shape as a sneakerhead because you don't get a particular release. And then you kind of start realizing like, hey, this is no longer just a hobby. It really is a big business. So I think that's become more evident over the last, I would say, you know, 5 to 10 years. Whereas before, interestingly enough, like I would get side eyes like
100%.
Spend this much money. Like my parents, you know, were the first ones. They're like, what are you doing? You know, like, why are you spending this much money on sneakers? You know, now it's like, it's, you buy sneakers and you almost look at the valuation of those sneakers and the trends and, you know, at this, you know, for a lot of sneakerheads, they now have built out pretty massive collections, right? That they were just sneakerheads at one point. Now you can quantify those in a number of sites. So I think the last 10 years have really changed. So to answer your question, I would say like definitely most recently, that whole dynamic has different, you know, definitely changed and swayed in the, on the finance side of things.
Yeah, I think the hobbyist piece is really interesting, right? Like Gerard and I are both hobbyists. And I think it's interesting how, what you're saying about how the conversation used to be like, wow, I can't believe you spent $200 on those. Now, whoa, you only spent $200 on those? That's a steal. Like that shift is like a whole game changer across the board. But I also want to hear more just about like sneakers, streetwear, collectibles. It all kind of fits in that space. So, and I know we'll get more about trade up in a second, but talk more about just that from like the old head collectors, how we've had to kind of adapt our shopping, our even collecting styles, right? Because I mean, I feel like L's are a rite of passage, but like how has that shifted and what are those resources? You started to talk about it a little bit, but I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we all know the streetwear and, you know, apparel, I'd say in the collectible space, they just go all hand in hand, right? I think these brands, trust me, like they recognize that. And from a, you know, from a just a creative perspective, they're like all in on those things, right? I think, you know, Kith is a great example of a brand that has like really mastered that a little bit, right? Because of all the different kinds of things that they kind of delve into, right? They're a streetwear brand, an amazing streetwear brand. It's actually my favorite streetwear brand. No. I love Supreme. I know everyone hearing this is going to say Supreme, but I love Kith as well. and what I'm what I really see is like the creativity that this allows these brands to extend to is really limitless, right? I mean, one of my favorite collaborations, right? They're bringing back like almost your childhood memories as a marketing tactic and tying all of that together. And it's such a big win, right? Because when I see a collection that's like Star Wars or Spider-Man and I can get a comic book with it. And if you're into comic books, now that becomes a collectible, right? All of that intermingled really is sneaker culture, right? It's not just like the, you know, dope hoodie that you're going to rock, but it has to go with a dope pair of kicks, right? So I think all of that throughout time has expanded and brands really have kind of taken a good stab, you know, a good stab at kind of that area.
Nostalgia sells, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and so I think that's a big piece of it, right? And it's this idea that while we like certain hoodies and t-shirts and whatever and kicks, these brands that create that, they're not doing it for altruistic reasons. It's not like, oh, we're so happy that people love these cool shirts and these. No, they're like, how much money are we going to make off this thing? Right. That is their number one focus. Right. And so I think the game has evolved, as we're talking about, I think so many OG sneakerheads, a lot of them have either left the game completely and just like either pop in every once in a while when they can get a pair, yeah, or like yourself, they just like, well, look, I still love this, but I see where the wind is blowing. I'm going to turn entrepreneur myself. Right. So because you see in someone who we mention all the time on the show, not because we particularly like this, not, I mean, we don't like or dislike this person. I think it's just sort of like apathy, but West Coast Joe. Right. And this, the whole Nike story about, you know, how he's using his mom's credit card, buying all these shoes. And it's like, you know, is this a dude that even cares about sneakers? And it's like, probably not. He's just some dude that's like, I don't need to go to college. I clear 100 G's a month doing resales. Right. Like, and so I think sneakerheads were like, wait a minute, this is our thing. Why can't we make money too, but also keep it pure? So I have to imagine that was an impetus for you to start Trade Up. But let me not put words in your mouth. What was the impetus to start Trade Up?
I mean, honestly, the fact that I was striking out on a bunch of different releases, and as an enthusiast, I couldn't actually get my hands on those releases. That, I think it's just personal reason, right? But I think the broader overarching reason is, as you said, things have changed. So because people like us can't get those shoes, we thought it was just massively important to create a platform to be able to use already what you have to get what you want. We use that align across our marketing, but it really is, you know, because sneakers have become an asset, they're no longer, you know, something that, you know, even used sneakers, right? Because they're grails, right? And there's a whole avenue into, you know, what those sneakers are worth, the conditions of those sneakers. And so it's about creating, I think, for us, a couple of different places for sneakerheads and enthusiasts, streetwear enthusiasts, to come and be able to actually have a release day every day, in a sense. Be able to find things that they want. Sometimes it's so difficult to actually even get your own size, right? You might end up with an item that's not your size. Like, how can you quickly leverage that asset to turn it around into something that you really want? So I think that's the biggest piece. The second piece is, you know, we're very vested on, two pretty big important focuses for us would be around sustainability and less fortunate communities, frankly. And I can kind of touch on those, but, you know, we're going to put our money where our mouth is there. And, you know, we've partnered with like organizations like Souls for Souls, which is a partner for us right now, where we're going to help them, you know, conduct shoe drives, and we're going to be collecting shoes and clothing for them and then going out and distributing these into our communities, right? We're a minority-owned business. It's actually a really important cause for me personally, because I come from Washington Heights, an area that really is like inner city, underprivileged. Kind of like count on my hands the friends that have been able to come out of that community, right? And do stuff. So having said that, being able to leverage Trade Up to do that, and then the sustainability piece, really, like, it's huge right now, right? In terms of what we can do, small pieces, right? I don't think that we can, like, as a company, change the world, but adding a little bit to that, and knowing things like, and being able to spread awareness that, hey, like, a pair of sneaker soles take 10,000 years to degrade in our landfills, right? What can we do to be able to collectively as a community, right? And we want to provide that platform to be able to, you know, tell people, like, don't just trash your kicks, like, donate your kicks. There's so much that can be kind of reused from that, whether it's providing it out to communities or whether it's taking it off our landfills, right? And doing the proper disposal of those sneakers. So those are, I think, you know, personally have been really big things for me as we kind of kick off Trade Up. And I, and they're near and dear to my heart right now, all the way from the top down across the organization.
I love to hear all these different components because I think, you know, what you guys are doing at Trade Up, it's a lot like kind of what people were doing before. I mean, it's not like a dinosaur, but before the internet, right? Like, let me go to my mom and pop shop, be like, I got this. Can I trade you for this? Can I bring these in? I think a lot of these kind of like new heads are dead stock or die. I mean, maybe that's an extreme example, but like dead stock or bust. Maybe that's what I'm going for. But I think that there's so many different organizations. So I love that you guys are like a connector of the dots. And I think even just in the team of founders around Trade Up. So I'd love for you to talk more about community networking, even just in building this from the ground up and like why it was so important to bring in all those elements from your team internally to externally as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So 2-year journey. We kicked this off right after, like, really when the pandemic, March 2020 hit. I was a technology consultant. So I was traveling. I stopped traveling and then really met up with, you know, frequently in conversations with my co-founder around, like, what could we do? And now found ourselves, like, available to actually have time to think through something, right? And from a trader perspective, like, how do you, you know, create a marketplace that not just is about transactioning, but really brings in that community feel, Gabby, that you're talking about? Part of that for us is fundamental in our marketplace. And one of the things you'll see is that we encourage our users as they come in to use their social media handles because a big part of this community is being able to have the trust, given the rise of fakes, right? And given the authenticity issues that you see large companies having, we have an emphasis on not just our authenticity process, but also like getting this community together because, you know, there really is no place to hide, right? If you're listing items and, you know, you're someone that is, you, hopefully a part, like an engaging part of this community, there's no reason why you should be involved in some issue, like with some fake replicas that are being sent in and some customer service issues of that sort, right? So I think adding that social media component to really drive some of that, frankly, accountability in the community is a big part of that, right? Because as you said, Jay, earlier, there's a lot of folks now that are part of this community that are not enthusiasts and they're in it really for the money, right? So that's, I think, part one. Two is, frankly, Gabby, to your point, like this is what we were doing before in stores. Unfortunately, there's a several factors that kind of prohibit you from doing those kinds of things now, right? You don't know whether something's real. It's difficult to find the exact match if it's not within like a 10-mile radius, right? So opening up geolocation factors and restrictions. And frankly, like, I've done the, you know, I'm just like everyone else. I've done the, like, found an item somewhere and met someone to go purchase that item. And I don't necessarily feel like the safest either. So there is a need for an intermediary like us to be able to kind of, number one, open up those restrictions from a geo, you know, from a geo perspective so that now you have access to sneakerheads like you and other parts of the country right now and then other parts of the world pretty soon, right? To be able to actually interact with those folks, not just on our Trade-Ups marketplace, but then get validation that you're dealing with a real legitimate member of the community by just looking them up on social media, right? And then at the same time, for us to create a safe space so that you know if you transact in our marketplace and you, you know, obviously we will ask for all products to be sent to us for authentication and validation, which, by the way, is a two-step process for us. If something goes wrong, we're going to provide you that peace of mind that we were going to manage that situation, right? Regardless of the value of that item, it doesn't matter whether it's a really expensive item or a less expensive one. Our goal is to really get to 100%. Like, is that 100? Is that possible? Time will tell. There will be things that come up. But I guess my promise there is we will make it right when a situation does occur. So hopefully that kind of sheds some light into what we're doing at TradeUp a little bit, and hopefully that's
absolutely helpful. And just a question now for you in terms of your life cycle as a company, where is TradeUp in its in its life cycle? Where is the business right now?
Absolutely. So we are just getting out of beta. It's wide open to everyone to sign up. Try TradeUp.com. It's a very simple, easy process to sign up. You can also use Google at this stage to sign in. You don't even have to sign up, and even, you know, and get going literally in, you know, less than 60 seconds. So we have, again, over the last 2 years built up to this beta phase. That beta phase just literally ended last week. And now we are open to the public. What we ask is for you guys to give us a shot, right? Go and engage with us, create an account, start uploading your items so that, you know, you can start engaging and engaging with the rest of the users on there, right? You can actually go and find me real simple at Ed right on the search bar, just like you would on Twitter or anything else. And you can actually start seeing everyone's collection. So we are fully live, Jay. The marketplace is functioning. Trade requests and trades are already happening. And the number of items and users are growing exponentially every day. So I think you'll start to find a lot more in there. We're, you know, to be honest, we have really large plans over the next, you know, 6 months short term to, you know, 2-3 year long term plan and a vision of where we want to be. And I can confidently say, like, we're just getting started, but we're going to develop this in the way that follows real, like that or not follows, but that takes into account the user feedback that we're getting. That is going to be really important. You know, people are asking, like, hey, where's your app? You know, where's the complimentary app to the marketplace, you know, to TryTradeUp.com? Like, it's coming. We're in the middle of collecting that user feedback right now from our initial users that are just getting onboarded and experiencing everything. And it's a big part of our roadmap, right? But that's just one example of the big things that are coming. You know, 3 years from now, we want to be your one-stop shop. Like, we don't want you to go anywhere else to do anything. So we're, you know, you'll see a lot more to that statement over the next few months come out as to what TradeUp will, kind of the evolution of the company and where we're going. But for right now, we're laserly focused on becoming the premier marketplace for users to come and trade sneakers and streetwear and engage with other members across the world.
I love that. I think, you know, you talk about community too, and I love the way that you have social media handles on it. I mean, I feel like Jay and I will post about us signing up. I'm excited to, like, go on this journey with you. Encourage all of our listeners and followers to do so as well. So we'll share details. But I think, like, as part of that evolution, when you talk about community, when you talk about social media, are there ways to kind of build communities in the platform? I know you guys are super active on social media as well. Like, what are you doing from that community standpoint to kind of bring that in? Because I think that's the piece that is super, super interesting about your platform.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think several areas, I would say. One is, you know, as we start building this user engagement, you'll see badges that are start getting issued across the marketplace. And those badges will have all types of different, you know, meanings and identifications and reasons why you get them. But that will also further drive, I think, that engagement, right? Because once you reach a badge, you'll have some level of status across the marketplace, which I think from a social, you know, our initial hypothesis is from a social media perspective, it also will kind of play hand in hand with the validation you're getting on TradeUp and using the same kind of handles and bringing that into the social media market into Try TradeUp. I think we'll go hand in hand. Secondly, we're encouraging big time across all of our content for people to share their usernames. We want to be able to, like, we want you to sign up and share that journey, share that experience so that others can go see for a lot of different reasons. One is to promote your collection and frankly, so that people can see what you want to do in terms of what items you want, right? We've also added a want list to every profile. And you'll be able to share that directly. Like right now, you can share that to social media. But as one of the things that we're doing in our roadmap is you're going to be able to share your want list to all of your social media channels so that people can not just on the marketplace, but across your followers, they can see these are the items that I'm interested in right now. You're going to be able to share those lists as well of your own collections easily as a list form into your social media channels as well. So merging those two worlds are going to be big for us. Creating communities on Discord, that's something that you'll see, right? To be able to engage with all of our users. I think there's a lot to be desired in those communities, frankly, and they go pretty crazy and people get disengaged pretty quickly. So we also are thinking through other alternatives, but you'll see things like pop up like user-specific groups, that we'll start coordinating for just sectors of people where we'll try to like geo match sneakerheads in different areas and put events on for those sneakerheads and try to get those folks to come out for a fun event, right? Which will be like a TradeUp kind of day, you know, sponsored by TradeUp. You come, you can actually bring sneakers to trade, do all types of things, but we're going to be keen on doing those things both digitally as well as in person as we move forward.
That's awesome, man. We love what you're doing with TradeUp. And I'm sure when the folks get online and they check it out, they'll enjoy it as well. Coming up next, folks, is America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. Now, Ed said that he is an OG sneakerhead, so I have a feeling he's going to have some nice things for us to see. So everybody stay tuned. What's good, everybody? And you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. Look, we talk about Chad and Adina literally every week on the show because they are the sponsors of this segment. If you want to be with like-minded people, sneakerheads, get yourselves on anotherlane.com. Sign up, learn all you can. Chad is a PhD scholar when it comes to sneakers. You will get a hell of an education. All right, Ed, Shoe and Tell is just like how it was when you were in grade school. It's your show. So show us what you got. Tell us why it's important to you.
Oh, yeah. So I said earlier I started my shoe fandom with Air Max. And these right here.
Okay, that's classic.
Yeah, these right here are probably like the shoe that I always looked at as like, I need this shoe. OG neon greens. I think, I mean, from look and comfort, forget about it, right? The crazy bubbles. I mean, what can you, you know, the air bubbles on this was, I think revolutionary for its time, honestly. But just the colorway was so bold back then to me and just made you feel like, frankly, like,
yeah, the man. I'm with you. I see that. Yeah.
So that's definitely an OG pair for me. Let's see. Oh, my favorite shoe of all time. It's a classic, and it's one that no matter what, I think.
I mean, listen, those are, you can never go wrong with the 11s.
Yeah. So you can't. So these 11s, I mean, these have been through war for sure. This pair. I've got a brand new pair that I don't take out at all. I might take them out for like, I don't know, my daughter's something, and yeah, so I mean, this shoe is like, classic. I mean, you know, it's just, it's a classic patent
leather.
Leather. It was like totally revolutionary for
Boys to Men rocking it with their tuxedos. Yeah, I mean,
absolutely. That's a wedding shoe right there.
Yeah, it's a wedding shoe. It's everything shoe, really. It is. It's a summer shoe, a fall shoe, a wedding shoe, any event shoe. And then obviously, like, tons of patent leathers after that, you know. But I think my second favorite shoe, white cement.
Oh, that's clean.
I say you're
that's
speaking clean. Jay's language right now.
Yeah, white cement. So this shoe to me, because, I, you know, honestly, the black cements are up there as well. But, you know, I'll tell you that this shoe I find to be one of the most comfortable J's.
Yeah, I agree.
Just the three, like the silhouette in general. At least for my foot, it just slides right in. And I like fours, but, you know, the issue with fours is, like, they're like tight and snug right on the top. And this shoe is just perfect. Like, so this is probably my top three.
Three's my favorite silhouette, I'm with you
there. It's a classic, yeah.
And then I guess these Red Fours. This is like this is the shoe that I remember as just a kid. Like every hip hop head had on with jorts on.
You know,
long t-shirt, white tee, backwards hat. Like it's just that vibe on this, right? It's like so. Yeah, I would say those are. These are it for me, I would say. And then there's a bunch of different ones, you know, like I love ones, but like don't have the infatuation with ones that everyone else has. So I would say silhouette wise for J's, at least it would be 11s, 3s, then 4s. And then Air Max would be 95s and then Air Max 1s.
That's the one that I can get behind, too. I love an Air Max 1. There's nothing like it.
That is solid.
I mean, those concepts, Gabby, those are – honestly, I think to me a lot of people are saying that, you know, well, let's just say this. For me, all of those are sneaker of the year contenders.
I completely agree.
For me.
I agree. I feel like there was a lot of hype around when that launch happened, right? Because it was like – kind of like a money grab to get it. The far outs, like they released a little bit at different times. But I think like the more I have the heavy and the mellow, and I think the more I wear them with like the velvet laces or not, or the guitar pick tag, you know, it's like there's all these little details that I feel like it's like watching a movie over and over again. Every time you see it, you uncover other gems, some uncut gems, Sherrod, in those shoes. I just feel like those are the shoes that just keep getting better and better every time I look at them. Like in that sense, it was slept on, in my opinion.
Let me ask you a question. I guess it's an interesting question for you guys. Do you guys buy resale or is it just retail?
It depends on what it is and how badly we want it. Gabby will do resale more than I will.
I'm a thirsty motherfucker, so I'll buy it. If it's something I want, I don't care where I get it from. I will buy it. I will talk to somebody, whether it's a resale platform, a human that's like, hey, can you enter this raffle for me? I'm all kinds of chatter around.
She will do it more than I will. It has to be a pair, like, not just like, oh, I wanted this one. I didn't get it. I have to really want it to pay the markup.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm like you, Jay. It's not even because I don't want to spend the resale. It's just
it's because I don't want to spend the resale. That's me.
It depends. I'm like you with the principle, though. Like for me, I can't get behind like spending four figures and a couple bands on like a Travis Scott because I'm like, I know that costs 37 cents to make. And like, it's cool, but like, nah. So I do have some boundaries. There's like a little bit of a threshold where I'm like, okay, it's like getting up there a little bit, but.
Expensive. I mean, listen. Those lost and founds coming up, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with those, but those are going to, I mean, we're anticipating for those to be like one of the most traded shoes of like on our marketplace for sure, because the interest behind those are going to be, I mean, it's immense already, but I will say, Jay, those fall into the category of I may need to pay my own bills.
So generally speaking, right, when it's that super hot release that's coming, right, Gabby and I try to do the same thing, which is first, who do we know that can get these for us, right? Because they were like, all right, we're probably going to take an L on sneakers, right? That's because that's just how that goes.
Definitely. Yeah. Not probably right. for okay, me. Not,
definitely. Okay. So who do I know first, right? And then it's like, all right, you exhaust that. Nobody. Well, and oh, and for me, it's who I know they can get to, give it to me for free. That's the
first. I pay for my sneakers. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
I go free first. When the free is not happening, then it's like, all right, who and what's the markup going to be? And then we work our way through the process. But look, man.
Yeah, through the process. That works. I think that's a good process. Freeze goes, got to be on the top, and then you
always work. Always. I mean, it's just common fiscal sense. Why pay for something when you can get it for free? It just doesn't make any sense.
Most of us can't get it for free, Jay. How about that? That's why. Because most of us cannot get it for free.
Listen, don't be on here acting like you don't have all these deep connects in the sneaker biz. Don't do that.
All right. I'll just set the record straight, by the way, before you put some tarnish on my name that does not need to be there, because I keep my shit fancy fresh, Shay, okay? I know a lot of people in the sneaker game, but I will say, you will never get a request from me being like, can you get these for me for free? That is never a text.
That's not what I say. I don't text, I know, can you get like, it to me for free?
But I'm saying, like, I'm not on seating lists. I'm out here when I talk to people being like, hey, can you enter in my size? Are you trying to go? And I get the same in return. I want the energy that I give out to come back to me, because otherwise then like, what's the fun of that? If I can help people out, I don't go for every launch. That's never been my style.
That's the first thing.
If it's not going to go straight to feet, it doesn't always go straight to feet. But if I'm not willing to put it on my feet and walk out of the store or take it out of the box, Gerard knows, like when I get something that's shiny and new, I cannot wait to call him and show him and text him. It's true. It probably annoys the shit out of him. But
a little bit. No,
like, you know, I'm like, who are my friends that I know are going to get this launch that are in the resale game, right? Or, hey, I know this isn't your bag. It's a women's release. Can you enter for me on sneakers? Like, you never know. Yeah. I mean, you know, our guy Kari he entered for me on Yeezy Day, and I was able to get my hands on the high res blue at retail. So for me, that's as much of a win as I can ever ask for.
No doubt.
If anybody wants to send me free shoes, you know, I'm not going to say no, but I do want to clarify. I spent a lot of
money. And to set the record straight, I don't reach out and say, can I get this for free?
I know, Jay. Not all of us are on fancy lists like you are. That's all I'm saying.
I literally say, hey, these are coming out. Let me know how much, right? And then the response is, no worries. Is your address still the same? And I'm like, all right, cool.
I got to ask, though, Jay, is that like when a girl is on a date and she does the fake wallet reach on the first date to be thank you so much. I wasn't better make sure there's enough money in the bank account to pay for your half that date in case you take you up on that.
It's legit. And as you know, it's like the Louis Vuitton. Like, I don't, anything that's like crazy. I don't reach out for none of those kinds of things. Cause I'm just like, that's not even, no, nothing crazy at those levels. It's literally like, I do like these 11s that are coming out. Happy to pay retail. And I literally am like, happy to. Got you. Address, cool. Nope.
I'm just messing with you, Jay. I know you're all cool. Jay's a man of the people, you guys. You're a man of the people, I know.
Man of the people.
yeah. You've put in some work, and now the dividends.
Listen, I tell people all the time, you know, when you freelance and do the different things that we do, free shoes are part of your compensation sometimes, you know? And it's just like, I'm not going to say no to my compensation, right? When your employees direct deposit your money, you don't say, ooh, let me send back like, hell no. Like, you're taking all
that money.
The
government does that for you, Jay. Well,
yeah,
right. Like,
Uncle Sam jacks your money before you even see it. That's the wild thing, right? Like, you don't even stick you up. He sticks your employer. I'm like, nah, you know, don't even worry. I've got it already covered.
And they're on resellers now. Like Uncle Sam is on resellers.
They've got
crazy
on and it's a business.
Like,
listen,
it caught on.
Don't let
time.
The government know you got anything going and you making money. They will find a way to tax the hell out of your ass. Mm-hmm. Right? Listen, they are professional stick-up artists. That's what they do. Literally, they stick people up. That is their entire business. Listen, Ed, this was dope, man. We really appreciate having you on. Tell the people where they can find Trade Up, where they can find you.
Absolutely, man. Again, guys, really a pleasure. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Has been great to be able to come on here and just chop it up with you guys and specifically talk about Trade Up. You know, you can find us at www.trytradeup.com. Our handles is at Try Trade Up. Real easy. We've actually got a couple of free giveaways going on right now, Jane, love Gabby. We've got a couple of collabs with a couple of sneakerheads like that a lot of folks will know for a free pair of Yeezy Turtle Doves, a free pair of Kobe 6 Pro Toes, Pro Toes. Kobe Day yesterday. So if you want those Pro Tros, Jay,
I might have to get over to see about those Pro Tros.
Let's see what we're doing. Yeah, absolutely. The Del Sol colorway is beautiful. So I think go and join those giveaways and give us a shot. Like I said, I think you guys will find it a really engaging community, and you might find your next grill there without having to pay resale cost. Ooh, so that okay. is the. That is the big ask of your listeners, right? Give us a shot. If something is wrong, personally message me at Ed on the marketplace. You can find me right there, and we'll get it handled for
sure.
Love
it, man. So, appreciate having you on. And folks, you know where to find us. Of course, we are part of the Count the Dings family with the Original Bomb Show, Woke Bros, Rap Names, Crypto Bros. They're going to be doing a couple podcasts, TV show podcast recaps for some great shows coming up as well. So make sure you guys stay locked in to the Count the Dings and the Bomb Network feed. Of course, you can find us at Kicks and Chit Show on all social media platforms. And until next time, peace.